Hold up signs now in church. How you doing? What's happening, everybody? Everyone smile. Let's see your teeth. If you have no teeth, let's see your gums. What's happening? You guys ready for church today? Well, listen, we are today is our first day of being online live streaming. So we have people watching live right now. Let's give a hand to those people. What's happening? The first couple of services today, we had 350 first service, 440 second service in 20 states and 6 countries, and so it's growing. We have people online giving us prayer requests. Breaks your heart. So it's amazing to have that technology. I want to say hi to my mom. She's watching all 5 today. So hi, Mom. And I want to say hi to my cousin Ivy. What's up, Ivy? How you doing? Oh, I love my cousin Ivy. Can't wait to see you, my kids. I haven't seen her so long. So we were on the phone today. Say, Ivy, you know, get online. So hopefully you're back there in Queens laughing right now. So, and I'm going to call you when I leave so we can pray on the phone again. So anyway, listen, and also we want to give a shout out to the military. We have military around the world. Amen. So they just showed a shot of the sanctuary. So I know Ivy's going, wow. You know, if you have military friends, family and friends around the world, this is a way to bring this church to them. They're out there protecting us and keeping our freedoms intact. So we want to thank you, men and women, for serving and putting your life on the line for us back here. And we want to hold down the fort here and take advantage of those freedoms. Amen. So thank you very much. Let's give the military one more big hand. So listen, let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bibles today. Say, word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 19. Luke. And also want to say hi to Ivy's son Ishmael for taking the information on the phone today. So this is cool. You can just talk to people. And if y'all have family overseas, especially in the military, we want to know, we can give a shout out to them. We can really try to make them connected, so thank you. We got people in France, UK, the Caribbean, Mexico, Canada, Southeast Asia. These are the places that we have people we know of watching, so God bless all of y'all and whoever else we're not acknowledging. God bless you. Luke chapter 19, let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for technology. We thank you for all the people around the world watching right now, and we know, Holy Spirit, that you are there with them. As just as you are present here, you are present there, you are everywhere. So we thank you and pray you encourage them and bless them today. In Jesus' name, amen. We also want to say hello to everybody watching on television and everybody in our North County location here in San Diego. God bless you, and hopefully the word, God's word, will encourage you today. I want you to imagine if you heard on the news, saw in the news that Jesus was coming in the flesh. Now, we know he's going to come back and give a new heaven, new earth, and all that kind of stuff, but he's just coming back for a visit, just a checkup. You know what I'm saying? And he's going to come to Qualcomm Stadium, our football stadium here in San Diego, and he's going to be on the 50-yard line on, you know, let's say February 1st. This is all hypothetical, okay? But let's say he's going to come in the flesh, you know, as a body like he was, just as a one-day meet and greet, okay? So you would hear about it on CNN, ABC, NBC, all the cable stations worldwide. It's a global event happening here in San Diego. And ESPN, Discovery Channel wanted to come and discover, is he really him? And so all the stations would be there, right? Pope would be there. All the religious leaders would be there because they want to see the man, okay? Jesus is the man, okay? And we wouldn't, you know, regular folks like us would not be able to get in, probably. We probably wouldn't be able to get in, but Jesus would come, and again, I don't know how he would do it, but I hope he would do it like only he can do it, just kind of float right down over the 50-yard line and stop about this high, right, just kind of hover, and just kind of just in the midair, just kind of wave at everybody, right, because who can do that? We can't do that, and you know, people think it's like Chris Angel. No, this is the real deal. This ain't no magic. This is supernatural, right? God puts the super in the natural. So he just kind of hovers over, and everybody would want to see him. Everyone would want to get an interview, you know, exclusive. I'm sure Oprah would want to try to get him on and all kind of stuff. But the question wouldn't be who would want to see Jesus. The question would be who would Jesus want to see? Everybody wants, because some people want to see him just to, you know, criticize him, complain. Yo, God, how can you even get me a wife yet? You know, everybody's got it in for what they want, right? But who would Jesus want to see? In the story we're going to look at today, Jesus is walking down the street, and there's a crowd of people on both sides of the street. And there's a man named Zacchaeus. Everyone say Zacchaeus. And by the way, if you're watching at our North County site here in San Diego, if you're watching on television or online, when we repeat stuff, you repeat stuff. So you can, you know, it's a good way of learning, stay connected. So everyone say Zacchaeus. Very good. Zacchaeus was this guy, he's a Jewish guy, he's a tax collector, he's a little guy, and he couldn't see Jesus because he was short. We're going to see that in the story. And the people didn't like him because he was a tax collector. There's some history behind that we'll get to in a minute. They wouldn't let him to the front of the line. So what he's going to do, he's going to run down the road, climb into a tree, just so he can see Jesus. He's going to be all like this. Okay? He's going to make that face too. You're like, that helps you see better. So he's going to climb into a tree because he knows Jesus is going to come by. And so in this story, we're going to look at four characteristics that we as a, what we call a do-something church, need to exemplify. Now, last week, we talked about being a do-something church. Everybody say, do-something church. Last year, we gave our mayor 225,000 hours of volunteer service. This year, we're scheduled to give 250,000. Okay, we need everybody to do something. So we want to include everybody. So a do-something church is a church body that is committed to doing what Jesus did in his body in order to establish hope, pervasive hope in the city. And so last week, we identified four characteristics of a do-something church, four very simple words. Everyone say count, say walk, say ask, say love. Very good. So what we did, what we do is we count how many bars, how many convalescent homes, how many homeless, how many kids in foster care, on and on and on and on and on, so we can understand really the pain in our city. Then we walk to them, physically walk to them, and don't just say come to church, we actually go to them. We have over 100 ministries that are focused on the outside of this building. We go to them. And then we get there, we ask them, how can we help? How can we serve you? And then we respond to the answer with love. Everyone say love. So let's say the four words again. Say count. Say walk. Say ask. Say love. Right. So that's a do something church. That's last week. Get the tape. You can get the sermon online. Now, today we're going to talk about what do we individually have to do. We don't have membership. What we call, we have an army. We want to develop an army out of you. An army is four commitments. A-R-M-Y. Everyone say A. Say R. Say M, say Y. This is our form of membership, even though it's not a membership. But if you say, I want to get with the program, here are the four things we want you to do. And these four things are involved in this story we're going to look at. So as we read the story, we'll go through the A, R, M, Y and tell you what they are. And then you can fill that out in your lesson plans. So let's read Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Luke 19, verse 1. And by the way, if you're watching online and you don't have a Bible, we have a Bible on line for you. You could just, it's right there in your right-hand corner of your screen, and you can read the scripture right there in your on the screen. It's the bomb. It's the bomb. It's the bomb. It's. And by the way, we're going to give a shout-out to our IT department, James, Lawrence, all those guys. They hooked it up. The only thing we don't want y'all to do here is not come here and watch it at home. Okay, we would just send it to your friends, email it, tweet it, Facebook it. Just do all that stuff you could do. Luke 19, it says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man in Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came by the place, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus, and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. Everyone say today. Today. Very good. So he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, everyone say they. When they, say they. When they saw it, they all complained, saying, he is going to be the guest with a man who's a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, look, I give half my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus, has come to seek and save that which is lost. Number one in your notes, A-R-M-Y, the A stands for accountability. Be in an accountability relationship. Accountability is spelled A-C-C, ountability. A-C-C, ountability. I want you to imagine if every single one of you had somebody in your life that had the freedom to say whatever they needed to say to you, to hold you accountable to your commitment to God, to a bunch of stuff. Reading your Bible, praying, not yelling at your kids or your wife, whether you're involved in pornography or not, someone to ask you, did you watch pornography today? Did you get drunk last night? Did you get high last night? Someone that you trust that can say to you whatever they want, you have given them permission. And by the way, it's two-way. They've given you permission to speak into their life, but you're holding each other accountable to obeying God. If you had that person in your life, one person, your relationship with God would go from wherever it is here. I have people in my life, several people in my life, but one of the groups of people in my life is called a kitchen cabinet. It's four people. And I would submit to them, here's what I want to do in 2011. Our last meeting we did had this. And then they give me their ideas and thoughts. These are people that can say anything they want to me. They're very successful. They're not. They don't work for me. They're just friends. But they can say and do say whatever they want. But I have submitted myself to them because I respect their opinion. And they'll say, what about this? What about this? And I showed them my plan. And they said, you need to cut some stuff out. You need to not do this, not do this, or consider this, and blah, blah, blah. And they gave me good counsel. If I'm going to make a major purchase, sometimes I'll share that with them and say, what do you think? What do you give me some advice? You need to have people in your life that can speak into your life and tell you that your breath stinks. And I'm not talking about literally only, but, you know, you're not doing a good job right now. You haven't been to church in 5 weeks. And by the way, this is stuff you've committed to doing. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17 that as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens another man, or woe man or woman sharpens another woman. But if you're trying to live your Christianity and make it by yourself with no one praying for you and encouraging you, speaking into your life, it's going to be harder, period. No matter how tough you are, we were not created to do that. Matter of fact, if you watch Discovery Channel or Animal Planet, does anybody watch these shows, animal shows? Raise your hand if you watch animal shows, okay? If you ever watch Discovery Channel, and by the way, if you don't watch these shows, let me encourage you to watch them. You know, learn about the wildebeest and getting eaten by hyenas and... You know, I know it's nasty, but it'll make you appreciate not being a wildebeest. But when you watch these shows, you get to see God's creation because God created all that stuff. But if you watch these shows, one of the things you'll notice, and you should look for this, look how independent the babies of animals are from the minute they're born. Some animals never even meet their parents. They are on their own at birth. Can you imagine that in real human life? Imagine if your babies, when you had a baby, the baby came out and said, Mom, I got the bill. Don't worry about it. The 9 months in the womb, that was the bomb, but I'll pay the bill. I appreciate it. Humans are like dependent forever. Forever. But for real, we were created for relationship. God did not design us to live independent of other people. He wants us to be in relationship, not only with each other, but with God. And so if you're trying to make it on your own, don't do that. Find people in your life who can invest in you, who can pray for you and encourage you, hold you accountable, because then and only then are you going to be able to mature to the person God created you to be. Accountability. Look what happened in this story. Verse 5. I'm sorry, let's look at verse 4. It says, Zacchaeus ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree, For he knew Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, hurry up, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. He says, I want to come to your house today. Everyone say today. Today. Right now, I want to stay at your house. I want to come into your life. I want you to invite me into your life. Now, understand this. The Bible says Zacchaeus was a sinner. We're going to get to that in a minute. He was a tax collector. No one wanted to be with him. And Jesus says today. Everyone say today. Today. When little David, King David, who ended up being king of Israel, who killed Goliath, David and Goliath, when he was a little boy, he was taking care of his sheep. And his father said, you need to go to the battlefield where your brothers are and bring them some food. So he left his sheep. He said, I'll be right back. And he left his sheep and went to the battlefield. And when he gets to the battlefield, he hears Goliath talking trash. And he says to his brothers, I can whoop him. So they bring David to the King Saul's tent. And King Saul says, David, how are you going to whoop him? You're only a little kid. And he's been a man since he was a kid. That's what the Bible says. Now, how are you a man when you're a kid? You're responsible. It has nothing to do with age. It has to do with responsibility. We all know people who are 40, 50, 60, and they're responsible. And then we know kids who are 15 who are very responsible. David says this, when I used to keep my father's sheep, say used to. He was keeping sheep that day. But he realized today is the day I go from being a shepherd to a giant killer. So he says, today I must stay at your house because Zacchaeus, today your life is going to change. But it was only going to change if Zacchaeus let him. So the first thing you have to do is be accountable. Say, find someone in your life and say, you know what? I want to be accountable to you. I want you to be accountable to me. Let's have a mutual relationship. At least be accountable to Jesus. And say, Jesus, I want to invite you in. Number two in your notes. Number two. R. Reach the lost through living an evangelistic lifestyle. In other words, whose salvation or spiritual growth are you praying for? Are you investing in? Or is it just about you? It's all about me. Let's read the story. Look what it says in verse 6. Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received them joyfully. And when they saw it, everyone say they. You know who they are? Them. 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 They. They say this. They say that. They. When, verse 7, when they saw it, they all complained. He's going to be a guest with a man who's a sinner. Everybody who is in this room, and if you're watching, wherever you're at, join in with us. If you're a sinner, raise your hand. Yeah. Okay, very good. If anybody's not a sinner, raise your hand because we want to worship you. What about Al? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, I ain't think so. How could Jesus go hang out with him? How could those people hang out with them? Whose salvation are you praying for? Who are you sharing your faith with? Who are you encouraging? Who are you sharing the love of God with that needs the love of God? I was talking to a pastor last night on the phone, and we were talking about being a do-something church and getting out and volunteering, and we went to our mayor. He's now going to his mayor, saying here's how we want to serve you, blah, 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 blah. So he was asking me all these questions, and one of the questions he asked me, he says, does everybody in your church serve? I says, well, I'm going to give you an answer, but it's probably going to shock you. Not only is the answer no, I never want it to be 100%. He said, what? I said, yeah, I don't ever want 100% of people serving. I don't want 100% of people saved. I don't want 100% of people in small groups. Now, that might sound backwards to you. This might sound like completely contradicts everything I talk about. Does anybody feel that right now? That's kind of sounding kind of backwards. You know why? Because if everybody's saved, then we have no evangelism. We're the new people. We always want people coming here for the first time going, I don't know nothing about God. I don't know nothing about God. I don't do nothing. I just want to come here. I don't know. I just crawled up. I was just getting drunk all night. I just kind of walked in. I thought I was going to the movies, and I just came here. Are you feeling me? I'm not in a small group because I don't know anything. I'm not serving yet because I don't know anything. We always want some of those people here. Amen. Matter of fact, is that you today? You just kind of crawled out of somewhere. You do that? That's right. That's good. That's good. People who just came over the border, they were in Tijuana all night. I gotta go to church. And you came over, we want those people. You want those people. Because what happens if everybody's saved and everyone's walking with God, we become a country club. Members only. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we don't want those people. We want all of them. All of them. So there's always a process. And so what it says here is that he's going to be the guest for the sinner. Duh, that's what Jesus came for. He came for sinners. So here's my question to you. If you have Christ in your life, you are a light. Light belongs in dark places. That's what light's for. That's what light is for. Light travels 186,000 miles per second. That's fast. Can I get an amen? Yeah, I mean, you never turned the light on in a room and the light came on and you had to wait for it to give to you. That never happened. It turned on, but it was just light. Light travels 186,000 miles a second. The only thing I know faster than light is darkness running away. Light. You are that light. And so what you want to do is you want to find, God, where do you want me to take my light? What people who need to know you, who need to experience your love, do you want me encouraging and loving? Imagine if we did that. Imagine if all y'all did that. Imagine if all y'all had someone in your life that can challenge you in your walk with God. Pray for you when you get discouraged. And by the way, we all get discouraged. Amen? Amen. We all get discouraged. We all need someone. We need someone in our life. You should never be by yourself. Adam and Eve. When did the devil come to Eve? When she was by herself. When she was by herself. And do we believe that's a real story? Absolutely. Absolutely. Look at number three. Serve in a ministry. Remember, A is accountability. R is reach out to the lost. M is serve in a ministry. Last week, we collected cards from you on ideas on how we can serve in San Diego or commitments that you had to make, even to read the Bible every day, whatever. But we got a lot. We got over 6,000 cards last week. Amen. So we're divvying them up, getting all the information in the computer, divvying them up, and there's a lot of ideas. We have over 100 ministries now just focused on the community, and then a bunch of other ministries inside the church, 100 outside the church. You could join one of those, or you can start your own. People in your community, but do something. What you don't want to do is, and again, this is not being part of the army, you don't want to just come and sit and take. You want to receive everything God has for you. And by the way, you want to get everything God has for you. And then you want to say, God, what do you want me to do with it? And go out and use it. Some of you, God has given you the gift to teach. Some of you have given the gift to administrate. Some of you have given the gift to listen, to counsel, to encourage, to motivate, to give. Use that gift. God didn't give that gift to you for you. He gave it to you for his kingdom. So use it. Matter of fact, last week I asked how many of you felt qualified to teach someone how to read. And a lot of y'all raised your hand. 1 in 5 people in our culture are technically illiterate. 1 in 5, 20%. 20%. That means that people who can't read this. 70% of people in prison can't read. If they can't read, how are they going to read this? They can't. Now, they can listen to a sermon, blah, 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 but how much better it would be if they could have a Bible in their hand and on their own get in God's Word and read. So how powerful would that be for all you who know how to read and all you who feel qualified to teach someone to read? Said, all I want to do is teach someone to read. Bam! You could change someone's life forever. So simple. So it's one thing to be accountable. It's one thing to be learning. One thing to be growing in your faith. It's another thing to say, I'm going to use that to help somebody else. When Jesus came, died on the cross, rose from the dead, and he says, I want to live in your heart, and I want to change your life, and then I want to use you to help change someone else's life. If we can leverage all that firepower that's in this room all day, ooh, we'd be doing 1 million hours of service in San Diego. It's unlimited. So everyone say army. Say A. Say R. Say M. Say Y. Last one. Honor God with your money. Oh boy, here we go. I knew the money thing was coming soon. Hide your wallet. Hide your wallet. Honey, grab the purse. We already took the offering. We're not going to take another offering, so you're safe. Look what Zacchaeus said. Verse 7. When they saw it, they complained that he had gone to be a guest with a man who's a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. If I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house because he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Whenever we say we're going to take tithes and offerings, a tithe literally means a tenth part or 10%. Now, some of you, I've been asked many times over the years, is that 10% before taxes? Or 10% after taxes? Well, I'll answer that question several ways. One, it depends on, do you want God to bless your finances before taxes? Or after taxes? I think we have to start with the premise that everything you have, including your money, is really God's on loan to you. Now, a lot of people don't see it that way. The thing is, my money, I earned it, it's mine. Okay, I get that. I get that perspective, though I disagree. Because God is the one who gave you the opportunity, the ability to work. And he's given you the opportunity to work. And he's blessed you with the money you make. Now, if you think that your money and your body and your possessions and your kids and your hair and your teeth and everything is yours and not on loan to you by God, you need to tell God so you and him could be on the same page because he believes it's on loan to you. He lent you your life. You only have this much time to live. He lent you your family. He's given you your kids and the ability to have kids, which don't take for granted. He's given you the ability to have a place to live. He's given you your money. And when we give back to God of all we have, or whatever you have, it is an act of worship, and it's a step of faith to say, God, I am honoring with you. I'm honoring you with what you've given me. By the way, God is saying, I'm going to give you this much, and you get to keep 90%. I want 10. That's a good deal. He could be saying, I want 90, you get 10. You keep 90, I get 10. And by the way, when you give me your 10 as an act of faith, I am going to honor you back for honoring me, because that's how it works. Now, am I saying you're going to be rich? Absolutely not. That's another church. I don't believe that you're supposed to be rich. Jesus had nothing when he died. He had no place to live. Okay, so, and I'm not saying you're going to be homeless either. But it's not about being financially rich. It's about being spiritually rich. How many of y'all remember this scenario? Just think with me for a minute. Let me describe a scenario, then raise your hand. You were broke. You had peanut butter jelly sandwich. You didn't have a sandwich. You had a sandwich. You didn't have enough to make a sandwich. You had a sandwich. And you had a bottle of water in your refrigerator, but the bottle of water was empty. And you were happy. You remember that? Anybody? Y'all like, all right, nah, that was not me. I remember when my wife and I were dating back, we had nothing. We were happy. Money is not going to make you happy necessarily. And I know some of y'all are like, I would like to try to make it happy. Give me that opportunity. God says, I want you to honor me. What Zacchaeus did, he said, I'm going to give back four times if I've taken anything from anybody on dishonesty, which he did. You don't have to do exactly what he did, but what he was really doing, big picture, is honoring God. Honoring God. I've been tithing since the day I got saved back in 1984, 27 years. You honor God, he's going to honor you. Oh, big time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can I get amen? It's a step of faith. By the way, when people get saved, their life changes in phases. They start, you know, they probably one of the first things they do is start going to church, and maybe the next thing they maybe start working on their cursing or whatever, whatever. But the last part of their life to get saved is their wallet. That's one of those. By the way, it's your finances and your sex life. Those are the two things that when you see someone saying, you know what, I want to honor God with my body, and I want to honor God with my money. Now God's got to the root of the person. Okay, and so when we talk about tithing, you all need to think: do I honor God with my money? Do I really give 10%? Do the math, and then watch God work. But matter of fact, Malachi 3:8, God says, if you don't give to me, it's robbing me. But he says, if you do give to me, I will bless you where your vats will overflow. And again, it's not necessarily talking about a lot of cash. Even though he will take care of you, your heart will overflow. Your heart will overflow. Everyone say A.
A.
Accountability relationship. Say R. Reaching the lost by living an evangelistic lifestyle, praying for people, encouraging people. Say M, being involved in ministry. Say Y, honor God with your money. First step, is to make sure that your life is really sold out to Jesus. Here's Jesus walking down the road. Here's Zacchaeus in the tree. Everyone do that. If you're watching online, if you're at home or wherever you're at, do this. Here he is. And Jesus says, come on down. Zacchaeus did not care what anybody thought when he climbed that tree. When you give your life to the Lord, you can't be worried about what people think. When you walk with God, you can't be worried about what people think. You got to do it because it's the right thing. In a minute, we're going to pray, and you're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord, I want to invite you into my house, my heart right here. And I want you to forgive me. I'm in the tree. I want to come out of the tree. And I want you in my life. That's got to be step one. Because once Christ comes into your life, then all the other stuff makes sense. And then you can glorify him. Because in the end, when you die, guess what you're not taking with you? That body. You're not taking with you your money, your hair, your clothes, your car, your house, none of that's going. Matter of fact, God's going to give you a new body. You think you look good now? Oh, no. We ugly compared to what we're going to be. Okay, so if you feel ugly, that's cool. God's going to hook you up in the new kingdom. I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's going to be the bomb. All that stuff, it doesn't matter. So what he's doing now, he says, I'm going to give you an opportunity here for the few years you live, and compared to eternity, it's just a few. With all the things I give you, I want to see if you're going to trust me. And if you trust me, I'm going to challenge you to walk by faith, and you're going to have to not worry about what they say. To worry about what I say. So let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're watching online, if you're watching on television, wherever in North County, bow your heads and close your eyes right now. This is the most important part of this service. Lord, I thank you that you love us. Thank you have a great plan for our life. I thank you for all the people here, all the people watching online, all around the world. Thank you for the people in our North County Satellite Church here in San Diego. And we thank you that you know all of us and that you see us hanging from that tree limb. We just want to get a glimpse of the Prince of Peace, the Son of God. And Lord, you've been good to us. You've gotten us through thick and thin. We all know that. You've gotten us through hard times, good times, times we had nothing and times we had a lot. You've been consistent. But Lord, there may be somebody here today, listening, watching. They're still in the tree. They haven't come out yet. They're still trying to do it in their own strength. I want to challenge you to pray this prayer with me, a prayer of surrender, to ask Christ to be your Savior or rededicate your life to him. Pray this in your heart if you would like to come out of that tree and invite Christ into your life, into your home, the home of your heart. pray this prayer in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I know that you know who I am. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Please encourage me today. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit today. I want to surrender my life to you. Everything I am, everything I have, I know you have given to me. And I want to honor you with it. So Jesus, take over my life. Be my Savior, my encourager, my Lord, my God. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up if you're here in the room. If you're in our satellite North County location, I'm going to ask you to stand up there in a minute as well. And if you're at home, we want to hear from you that you prayed with us. But right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer and you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to get out of my tree and I want to invite Jesus into my life, just stand to your feet and acknowledge your prayer and his forgiveness. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We see you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. We see you. God bless you. We see you.